Okay, now moving on to our next topic. And once again, we heard in the news this morning that another attack happened in the United States, in California, where a gunman opened fire in a synagogue in Southern California just yesterday, unfortunately killing one person and injuring three others during a religious service on the last day of Passover. Unfortunately, it keeps happening again and again. We are now joined by our phone guest, Zohar Dromi. Zohar, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Amit.
We spoke just in the Hebrew hour, and we pre-recorded our conversation a few days ago, how things might happen any day now. It's a very fragile situation, and just this morning, unfortunately, we hear in the news that another attack just happened. So before we go into the depth of the conversation, let's talk about yourself a little bit. What is your background exactly?
I'm an Israeli-born Australian. In the last 4.5 years, I served in the Israeli army. I retired as a major, and then I worked for a few years in the prime minister's office in Israel as an operative agent.
Now let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in the States. Do we know exactly what's going on?
Yeah, we know that the attacker, his name is John Ernest. He published a manifest or a letter a few minutes before the attack in San Diego. He declared that he's a European ancestry and that he took him only 4 weeks to plan the attack, unlike statements from other people, other countries that are stating that Sri Lanka attack was planned for years. Again, this proves that attack can be planned in a very short period of time. He claims, again, all the old-fashioned anti-Semitic claims that Jews are responsible for the planned genocide of the European race, and that there was a specific moment after Brenton Terrence, the Christchurch attacker, mm-hmm. after he made his sacrifice, that something just clicked in his mind, and that was a call for duty for him. So he went on and performed the attack.
Ironically, we see these type of attacks happening more and more often. And we just mentioned the Christchurch attack. And if you remember, 6 months ago, I believe, 11 Jews were murdered in Pittsburgh. And we are talking more or less on the same type of attacks. It's more or less like a lonely wolf that decides to do something, correct?
Yes. It keeps on coming in our conversation that the threat is pending. It doesn't really matter if it's ISIS or right wing like the attack in San Diego. A lone wolf is a lone wolf, and it can happen anywhere. And basically, it's a pending threat. Like, we can't say anything different, that governments are not trying. They are. They're trying the best to their ability to stop those attacks, but they can't put police officers at every places of worship or any educational institute or hotel like in Sri Lanka. So it's a pending threat. It will happen again, unfortunately.
But people are using the internet to find out how to build tools that unfortunately will harm others. Can't we somehow track, or isn't there a way to kind of find out exactly who is doing what and where on the net?
There are thousands of and thousands of people following social media, all those hatred messages, and there are, some of them are actually communicating and stating their opinions and everything. Governments can't keep track of thousands and thousands of people, because not all of them will go out there and perform an attack. Some of them will. So there is a liability to social media, which I think is a bigger topic than what we are discussing at the moment in a practical level, but there is a liability issue from social media like YouTube, Facebook, mm-hmm. which keeps on mm-hmm. and keeps on following and delivering those messages to their people. And at the same time, there is a liability from mm-hmm. Like places of worship, educational institute, corporate space, organizations, mass gathering events, still a liability issue. They need to do something, because the governments in the world can't prevent all of those attacks, because it's out there. It's on social media. And we know how the world is, like, everything is on social media nowadays.
And because it's on social media, I think people can see the signs. It's there. I mean, the guy took like a week or two, as you mentioned, to prepare, and he posted stuff online so others could actually warn about it. But it seems that people, they don't really do much about it. I mean, it's so easy to go to someone and tell, let's say, to a security officer, or to call the police, hey, I saw something suspicious. Can you do something about it? Correct? I mean, people could do more, maybe?
Yeah, obviously people can do more. But again, we can't keep track of the thousands and thousands of people on social media which promote those messages. But yes, the proactive approach of telling the police or telling government organizations, yeah, I saw something, is better than not saying anything. We need to be safe than sorry. There is, like, it's better to report than not to report and be sorry about it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as you mentioned, these kind of things, we cannot prevent them. Unfortunately, it will happen again and again. We'll see more attacks like these in the future, as it's so easy, as you said, to browse the net and find the right tools, how to build utilities or how to kind of make things worse. It's a big, big issue, and I think that we will see probably more of that in the next few years.
Yeah, unfortunately, you are right. Again, social media, the message is out there. People are being influenced by what others are thinking, what others are doing. Like, for example, yesterday in San Diego, John Ernest, he states specifically, he was moved by the Christchurch attacker sacrifice. So there is a momentum, and unfortunately, it will keep on happening.
So the message is to keep an eye open. To our listeners, if you see something suspicious, report it. Don't be afraid to report it to the authorities. And we can do something at least to minimize the impact. That's correct, right?
Yes, I think like we need to keep on pushing the message that we need to think differently.
Yeah.
The world is changing. We need specialized security services, specific training. For example, in San Diego, an off-duty patrol officer engaged the attacker. He was aware of what's happening, and he prevented a bigger massacre.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
There are solutions for that, but yeah, I think in the bigger picture, to report is one of the first steps.
Fantastic. Now, Zohar, to finish off, I realized I read somewhere that there is a security and counter-terror expo, and you're taking part of it, and it's actually in the UK. Just briefly, can you give us more information? What is this expo, and what type of things are going to be presented there?
Exactly what we're speaking about at the moment, counterterrorism, the approach that the threat is out there, it's pending, there will be no preliminary warning signs, there is a liability from places of worship and others, and the solution is to think differently, to report, to have specialized security services, specific training to counterterrorism and awareness, because at the moment as an industry, and I'm part of that industry in Australia, we've got like a feeling that security is safety, OH&S, pubs and clubs. Mm-hmm. The world is changing. The threat is different, and it's becoming a bigger problem. Mm. So I was speaking exactly about those things, and I presented things from the right-wing threats, from ISIS side threats. Those were the things I spoke about in the UK at the Counterterrorism Expo.
I can see it's every year, so it's quite interesting, something that definitely is worth checking out if you're in the UK. I'm sure that here in Australia we also have in the future more events regards to security and terror, etc. Thanks again for your time, Zohar Dromi, security specialist living here in Melbourne, Australia. And yeah, hope to hear good news, only good news in the future.
Thank you, Amit, and have a good afternoon.
Thanks.
Safe one.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.